Thanks for Connor Riley stopping by. Great stuff on college football. More throughout the course of the week on that. Welcome back in after a long Memorial Day weekend. Hope you had a great and safe weekend, guys. Mike got some good stuff coming up from Indy here in about 10 minutes as we'll get into some guy talk. One of the things that we do realize is our team is still under 500. I'm talking about our Braves who start a series tonight against the Phillies. And we're 25-27, 8.5 games behind the Phillies. The good news is, guys, it's not over. But we already are past Memorial Day, and this is one of the stops throughout the course of a baseball season where you mark, right? You say, all right, where are we at Memorial Day? I've talked about this. July 4th, you get past that because that leads you into the trade deadline at the end of July. Then you get to the end of August, and you say, all right, what are we going to do for the home stretch? How do we look? I think we know what our team is right now. And the problem is, Mike, we didn't know what they were going to look like once Acuña came back, who had a terrific first series.
Right?
He came back, he had a couple of home runs, had a couple of plays in the outfield. He looked like Ronald Acuña. But we had Tony Gwynn Jr., our Odyssey MLB insider, stop by earlier, and we asked him the question about what is the team missing? Is it something about somebody in that clubhouse pointing the finger at other guys, respectfully, and saying, you got to play better, you got to pitch better? Listen to what Tony Gwynn said.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there could be an element of that. I mean, there's been, you know, different things kind of happening within that organization, you know, this season. And, you know, I just think they, when a team doesn't play up to expectations, a lot of these things that maybe we would just kind of overlook start to kind of rise to the top. And I don't know who that voice is. It's a great point. There are a lot of really good players on that team, but no one really stands out in terms of who that voice may be. Now, listen, that doesn't mean they don't have one. Behind closed doors, they definitely could have something, but at least from the outside looking in, it doesn't appear that they have, you know, a guy who can kind of get the crew moving in the right direction. And listen, you're right. Ronald looked like Ronald. He didn't look like he missed any time at all. And you know that overall it's going to be a helpful thing for the team. But for whatever reason, they just haven't got it going yet.
We asked him if they passed the eye test. He said some late-inning, you know, heroics from the Padres. He said the Braves still pass his eye test. But as we said, I mean, that guy he's talking about, Freddie Freeman. Yeah, I know. You guys don't want to hear that. We said it to start the show. But that's the kind of guy, though. That's stuff. That maybe, you know, maybe he gets under the skin of some of his teammates because he's a stickler for the rules, which, you know, some guys say doesn't matter. But, you know, 21, that's, you know, what were we? 21, no Ronald, I get that. But, man, it was a sum of its parts. And then we had these kind of X-factor guys, you know, and you can't recreate it. We've tried. Jorge Soler, Rosario, you know, Jock Peterson, right? Those were guys that kind of came in and they kind of all kind of, I guess, some of their parts became that guy, right? That role he's talking about.
They did. And you got the production from the collective, not one guy, that ultimately helped you get over the top. There are a couple other things. We're going to get Grant on to talk about this. But one of them is what's going on with Iglesias. And Brian Snicker, by the way, says they have not been terrible outings. This is not me. This is our manager who says it's just been one pitch. We're not looking to get away from that because the stuff is there. What he's saying is I'm not replacing Iglesias as our closer. Here's my issue, though, Snit. It is just one pitch. That's what his job is. His job is to go out and get outs when it matters most, high leverage situations, the biggest moments in a game, and sometimes it comes down to one pitch. That's why Mariano Rivera, Mike, was the best to ever do it.
Right.
Because it came down to one pitch. And so to say, it's just been one pitch, that's kind of giving him some leeway and an excuse to not be great. I do not like it. The Braves opening loss, we're talking about Friday night, for those of you who missed it, because I know a lot of you were, you know, headed to wherever you were going, on the road or whatever for the long Memorial Day weekend. But his ERA now is almost 6.
Yeah, as I said to start the show, he's not a closer right now. He's not. I mean, you got to go Pierce John. I mean, and the other options aren't great either. I mean, you don't really have the guy. But, I mean, this is, look, we're going to have to shop. Tell me I'm wrong. You telling me, oh, no, he's just going to a rough patch. Please. I mean, you start to wonder if this is now the downward spiral for a guy like Iglesias who's just not showing that clutch. Other thing we talked about earlier for guys who miss it, we'll ask Grant about it. I love a manager who sticks up for his players, but I mean, at some point, Austin Riley takes some more fielding practice because Austin Riley, you know, has just been brutal. And that was never something I thought I'd say, you know, before Memorial Day that, or after Memorial Day, that Austin Riley almost become a liability at third base.
No, listen, I think he cost you the game. Sunday, that era, it came back to bite you, guys. Because here's the deal. You get out of the inning if the error doesn't happen. Instead, you had, you know, two unearned runs on a two-run home run. That hurts you.
Right. I mean, and they have, like, Snicker to throw out there and say, well, the grounds crew, they could probably, you know, I said to Carl earlier, you know, those grounds crew guys have families, too. I mean, I never thought it was a bad infield. I don't know. It was got a bad rep. I know the outfield takes a beating when they have conscience. I didn't know the infield was part of that. Just seemed like a cheap excuse.
Yeah. We're not whole quite yet. And we need to get there, and we don't need to clown around in this series with the Phillies. It's going to be interesting tonight. It's Strider. We'll see what he's got. More with Grant coming up. Hey, we got to mention what's going on in the NBA because the series have been very interesting. The Knicks are back in their series, guys. They came back from 20 down. That looked like it was a wrap the other night. And then Karl-Anthony Towns, scored 20 in the fourth and goes off. And all of a sudden now, the Pacers are like looking at themselves in the mirror. Meanwhile, the Minnesota series, and Mike said it, Ant-Man is not looking like Ant-Man. And
he certainly isn't sounding like it, man. That swagger we've come to expect.
OKC takes control of that series. They're up 3-1. It's a wrap. They're not. Look, Minnesota is not beating them four straight. Nobody has beaten them back-to-back this year. So, Mike, it's almost impossible because of the way they play. But, you know.
But Anthony Edwards to sit there and say, well, I wouldn't say I had a bad and off night. You got to be some Kobe dog. Be SGA. SGA's got more Kobe in him than you do.
He does.
We like Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, because he brings some swagger. You know, we joked around about him basically turning at the fans in L.A. and basically saying, my is bigger than yours. So right now, he looks very small because you're not taking the shots. You're not being the man. And it's just, come on, you're relying on some of the role players on Minnesota. You're supposed to be the alpha dog. I don't know how you can look yourself in the mirror. You took 13 shots in that game.
Yeah
they're going to double team you. You got to fight through that stuff, man. You think you're the first star player in the league that's had to deal with that kind of pressure?
Well, the handsy comment bothered me simply because we're not even in the era where you can hand check legally. I can hand check you, but it ain't like it used to be, where I can literally guide you to wherever I wanted you to go, and a guy's got away with that. And he's, you know, he has the audacity to be like, yeah, everybody on their team's a handsy. Yes.
Like everybody on their team is handsy.
Because you're a big guy. You're strong. They're trying to defend you that way, and it's already gotten in your head. Thunder win 128-126 last night again. 3-1. Knicks tonight, Mike. Do you expect them to tie this series
up? Can Cat do it again? I mean,
not that.
Pacers, I mean, you could argue, I said this to Carl, I don't want to get like prisoner of the moment on it, but I was in a sports bar with a bunch of Indiana Pacers fans who know a lot more about the Pacers than I do. And they were of the opinion that, you know, if Karl-Anthony Towns can reproduce that, they just can't match them in the half court. They get a lot of their points off the transition. Haliburton gets those easy looks around the perimeter where no one's in his face and he drops it.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting to see how Rick Carlisle comes back and, you know, tries to, you know, figure out how they're going to battle. Because this is the knock on Karl-Anthony Towns. He disappears in the playoffs. And last night, Julius Randle disappeared. It wasn't just Ant-Man. Julius Randle was MIA for Minnesota. But if you didn't see that game, man, Cat was a beast. And Knicks fans are going, yeah, more of that, please. But also with the Knicks, you feel like Thibodeau's going to have to run him into the ground because, you know, he basically finally put Brunson back in the game when he had foul trouble. A lot of guys are saying you're going to have to find the balance between Cat and Brunson because they're going to drop dead on you.
The thing about the Pacers is, and this is kind of their thing all season, just like OKC plays the best defense team-wise better than anybody else all season, they run a controlled fast break better than anybody. And this is getting to your point about transition points. They get a rebound, right? And it doesn't look like this when you're watching it on TV. Up close and personal, they are moving. They get the ball to Haliburton. He's pushing, and guess what? I'm either in the lane for an easy shot, or I'm kicking it for a three. And they're getting these buckets, and next thing you know, you look up, and they're up 15. They do that better than anybody, and Mike's point, they didn't do that. And Haliburton, Siakam, and Turner did not play well in that last game, and then the Knicks said, all right, we're going to grind you, right? And then now you're allowing Karl-Anthony Towns, who's really gifted offensively. We don't appreciate him, I don't think, as well. He's not a traditional post player. You saw that. He's shooting threes.
Right.
But that's the difference. And, Mike, if you don't allow them to do that, get that board and get out, they're a different team. So we'll see what happens tonight. It's going to be interesting. By the way, Pacers, 2.5-point favorite if you're into those kind of things. And we are. Mike, what's going on in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, give you the sights and the sounds and some of the smells of what happened up there in Indianapolis. It was a great weekend and some huge numbers for the Indy 500. Also, a sobering story from Indianapolis about Knicks fans maybe pushing a guy over the edge.
Oh.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but Roger Goodell said something over the weekend, which has some people saying, uh-oh. I'll explain.